Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
We bless you. We exalt you that you are the risen, glorified King. And Lord, we just long to meet with you in your glory, to know your glory in our lives in the way that you intend. Thank you that you do want this morning to be an event, a meeting with you in your sovereignty, in who you are. So we just open our hearts to hear your word, to respond to you and to meet with you in the way that you desire to meet with us, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. And see that things are a little bit different. We're not having an extended time of worship now. We're going to get into the word and then have plenty of time to meet with the Lord. In the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 60, it says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." And Peter, in his epistle, says that the glory of God and his Spirit is upon you when he is talking to believers. And we know that Jesus took three disciples up the mount, and there he was transfigured before them in his glory. We know also that Jesus prayed for not only his present disciples, but for all those who would become disciples before he went to the cross in John 17. And there he said that he had given to them, to believers, the glory that God had given to those first believers. So this glory must be within us. What does that look like? Well, the scripture speaks of the light of his glory. I believe the Lord is telling me to share a bit of testimony with you. Some of you who've been around Kingdom Faith for some time might have heard some of these things, but many of you haven't. But I only ever do this when there's a purpose in doing it. Some of you will have heard my personal testimony of how I came to know the Lord as a child. I'm not going to go into all the detail of it, but when I was about 9, 10, that kind of age, what he actually did, as I knelt by my bed after saying my prayers, and was just waiting for him to really answer the question that I had in my heart, "Lord, why did you make me?" The kind of question a 9-year-old would have. And then one evening, he just revealed to me the light of his glory. Of course, I didn't know that's what it was. My parents weren't Christians. I didn't know any born-again believers. So this was just so wonderful to see this, the Lord in the light of his glory. It's indescribable. Can't even begin to describe what it was like. But it had such an impact on me that I knelt there again and again, night after night, night after night, waiting for another, what to me at that time was an experience, another event where God would just reveal the light of his glory. It was some time, long after that, that I realized that what God was actually doing, at that time I wasn't hearing words from him, but what he was doing was answering the question, "Why have you created me?" answer for the light of my glory. That the light of my glory will shine in your life. The light of my glory will shine through your life. That you will live for all eternity in the light of my glory. And of course, what I was to come to understand is that that is his will for all of his children. Some years later, when we were in the middle of the revival in Luton, this would be about 1973, 4, around there, our family was on holiday in Wales. We used to go caravanning, the five of us all sleeping in this little 14-foot caravan. Pastor Clive was about 7 at the time. Of course, within the confines of living like that, it's difficult to have much space in order to really pray. And although we'd had our prayer times and prayer times of the family, I was just hungry to have a real quality time with God. So I said to Caroline one night, I'm just going to, you go to bed with the children, and well, the children were already in bed, but you go to bed, and I'm just going to go and have a time with the Lord. And we were parking in this field in a farm where we went actually for several years in North Wales. And it was pretty basic, but there was nothing around. There was no habitation or anything like that. But it was at the foot of these hills that were just behind the coast. And I knew a lovely spot where I could climb up and have a beautiful view over the sea. It was a moonlit night. I thought, that's going to be beautiful. It'll be nice and quiet up there. So I started to climb up this hill. Of course, I didn't have my climbing boots with me, only sort of trainers. And it was a very dewy night, and it was very, very slippery. And so I sort of slipped and slid my way up this jolly hill. Probably fortunate not to break an ankle or something like that. But anyway, I got up to this place where I wanted to be and sat down ready to have a glorious time with the Lord. And all I could hear was, "Bah!" I was just surrounded by sheep. And this wasn't going to be the quiet time with Jesus that I was anticipating. And then the Lord spoke to me, and he said, "Colin, what are you doing here?" And I said, "Lord, I've come up the mountain to meet with the Lord." And he said, "Well, you don't have to climb up here to meet with me. Go back to your caravan. Take a chair and sit down, and I'll meet with you." So I slithered down this this jolly mountain that I climbed, or hill, and we used to keep the camping chairs underneath the caravan, so I took one out and sat down, and just across from us there was a whole copse of trees. There was nothing behind it except just a bit of field. Just this copse of trees. And as I sat there, the whole copse of trees came ablaze with light. It was as if there was sort of light in the midst of the trees, and the whole copse was just ablaze. And God began to speak to me. This must have lasted, I would think, for about 20 minutes. Of course, because it was dark, I didn't have, you know, pen and paper with me. I hadn't expected to be writing stuff down. But for about 20 minutes, he just spoke. And you wouldn't be here today if that event hadn't happened. Because it was then that God began to speak to me about the lifestyle that we were going to live, what he was going to do in the future, the way that my ministry was going to grow and develop. And up until that point, I'd just been so sort of taken up with the events of what was happening in the revival in Luton, I hadn't really looked ahead in that way, except to know that God was saying, there's going to be something different in the future. Your voice will be heard among the nations. But then he, you see, you can never seek events or experiences like that. God gives them when he has a particular purpose. And actually, if you have an encounter like that with God, you better find out what the purpose was, because it's usually going to lead to something great, but it might also be costly at the same time. But you see, that was an encounter with God, so it was an encounter with light. He revealed himself in the light. Now, we know in Scripture that God says, or the Scripture says of God, that he is holy, that's his essential nature, that he is love, that's his essential nature, but it also says God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. So, it's just as much his nature to be light as it is to be love, as it is to be holy. And Jesus, of course, when he came, he said, I am the light of the world. And then later he said to his disciples, you are the light of the world. So God's word to us here today is, you are the light of the world. You are the light of Horsham. Horsham's not the sleepy town it was 30, 40 years ago when we first came to live here. It's expanding, more housing areas everywhere you go. Is that going to be more darkness? Or is there going to be an increase of light? Where there is light, people are attracted and drawn to the light. So, this morning, you're privileged to be here. Thank you for affirming that. Because God wants you to have an encounter with him in his light. Now, what does that mean? I'm going to just quote two or three passages from The Truth for Today. If you weren't at camp and you didn't buy a copy of this, you need to get one. This is an amazing book. It really is how God has spoken to me through the Scriptures for years. And that is how to become the person of faith that God wants you to be. To keep listening to what he's saying to you through his word. Because hearing his word creates faith. And it's in short sections. You can take a section a day and in your prayer time and just hear what God is saying to you personally, because it takes the epistles of the New Testament, but it speaks as if God is speaking directly to you as his child. So it's all based on Scripture, but it's just really the revelation of what he says to you through the Scripture. So just listen to this. This is something from 2 Corinthians. If the gospel you preach is not understood, this is only because those who are perishing are blind to the truth. Remember, you're a preacher. You might not have a pulpit up on a platform, but every time you witness and share the truth with someone, you're exercising your gift of preaching. And everybody said, Amen. So if the gospel you preach is not understood, this is only because those who are perishing are blind to the truth. So you don't judge them, you pray for them. The God of this age has blinded their minds and understanding, so they are incapable of receiving the glorious light of Christ, who is exactly like me, the Father, and is revealed through the gospel. So you do not preach for your own glory or praise, but as my servant to reveal Jesus to others. For I have declared, light is to shine where before there was darkness. So I have caused my light to shine in your heart. I have given you the light that comes from knowing my glory in your experience as revealed through the person of Christ, my Son. You already have this treasure of my glory in your body, because Christ is in you, which is but a jar of clay by comparison. It is evident that this power is greater than any other power and is now within you, a gift from me, not something you could produce yourself. So you may not have an encounter, an experience of glory like the one I've just explained to you, because you probably don't need that. But as a believer, you have the light of his glory within you. Somebody say hallelujah quick. Then when he's writing to the Ephesians, Paul says this: yes, you lived in darkness in your old life, but now you are a child of light, living in the one who is the light. So live as a child who walks in the light of my truth. What is the evidence of such a walk? That you express my goodness, righteousness, and truth, that you know what to do to please me. You cannot compromise, have absolutely nothing to do with the things I regard as darkness. These things are sinful and produce nothing good in your life. You should expose sin, not walk in it. It should be shameful for you even to talk about the things disobedient people do, often in secret. The time will come when everything will be exposed by the light, even the things people have tried to hide. By its very nature, light exposes things, and there should be nothing in your life that you would be ashamed of when everything is exposed. Such a time will come, which is why I have said, it is time to wake up if you are asleep spiritually. Rise up from a life of dead works, and Christ will shine on you with his light. Sin is darkness. Righteousness is light. And God doesn't want us living in a kind of twilight, a mixture of darkness and light. He wants us to be walking in the light as the children of the light, so the light is radiating out of our lives. And the more the light radiates out of your life, the greater impact you will have on those around who are living in darkness. And just one more short passage. I mean, there's so many more I could read, but just a short few verses from John's first letter. Jesus made it clear that I am the light. In me there is no darkness at all. So, beloved child, you are to share in my light and not walk in spiritual darkness. You do this by living according to the truth. When you walk in the light, just as Jesus is in the light, you share in my life, and the blood of Jesus, my Son, purifies you from all sin, from everything you have done against my will. So When we are forgiven, it's because we confess our sins. And what does it mean to confess your sin? It means to say something to Jesus that is darkness, that has taken place in your life, that may be hidden in your life, may be hidden in secret, and you're bringing it into his light. And when you bring it into his light, he forgives it. And that light abolishes the darkness. Because whenever darkness is confronted by light, the darkness always loses. You go into a dark room and switch on the light, and the darkness is overcome immediately. And that's what forgiveness is like. So all those things that have been hidden in the secret of our hearts and of our lives that we may have tried to hide from others, we can never hide from the Lord. But when we bring them into his light, he forgives them. And he cleanses us of those things. And we are set free. And the glorious thing is that when he forgives us, those things are completely obliterated, just like the darkness is obliterated by the light. And so when there comes that day of judgment, when everything will be revealed and nothing can be hidden, those things can't be revealed because they will no longer exist. Because we have been walking in the forgiveness every day of Jesus. You know, his goodness and mercy follow us all the days of our life, every day of our life. There is that mercy. So every day of that life, we can bring out of the darkness whatever needs to be forgiven. But, you know, there are all kinds of things that are opposed to the light. Compromise is not light. Superficiality is not light. God doesn't want us to have Christian lives of compromise. He doesn't want us to be relating to him in a superficial way. But he wants us to be one with him in heart, in mind, living in loving unity with him. Disobedience is darkness. Obedience is light. And you can see how the two things completely contrast. Love is light. Selfishness, self-centeredness, self-pity, all those things of self is darkness. So God wants to deliver us from all the darkness so that we radiate the light. Are we all here this morning? So, if we want to encounter God in his light, then we need to be prepared to be open about anything that is going on in our lives that is darkness. And to realize that when we bring those things that are darkness into the light, they are immediately dealt with. Oppression from the enemy is darkness. But what happens when we bring that oppression to the light of Jesus? We are delivered and set free immediately. People can become depressed for all kinds of reasons. But what happens if we bring the depression to the light of Jesus? The depression cannot persist because the light overcomes the darkness. And if you know anybody who's lived through depression or been through one yourself, you know it's a very dark place to be. But the only thing that can really set people completely free, rather than suppress whatever is causing the depression, but to really set people free from depression, is the light of Jesus Christ. All sickness, no matter how a person has become sick, all sickness is really darkness because it's not the will of God for our lives. It's not his best purpose for any of us. God never wants us to be sick. No father ever wants his child to be sick. You would say that if there was a father who wanted his child to be sick, there is something wrong with the father, as well as with the child. So, no, our Heavenly Father doesn't want us to be sick. So what would happen if we bring the darkness of the sickness to the light? You see, if when we bring the sin to the light, we expect the sin to immediately be overcome, because light just overcomes darkness, then should not we expect the same thing to happen with the sicknesses? That we bring them to the light. We're not sort of simply praying, we're not just praying for healing. We're bringing, well, not just the sickness, you see, we bring ourselves to the light. But I learned very early on in my ministry that if anybody wants to be healed, it's not a question of simply bringing the sickness to the light, but bringing the person you are to the light. So any darkness. Because God's concern is not just to set you free from a sickness, but to set you free from all that is dark. So if you bring yourself, you bring the sin, you bring any disobedience, you bring any compromise, you bring any superficiality, and you bring the sickness. Because what you are in effect saying is, Lord, I want you to set me free from all the darkness with your light, the light of your truth, the light of what you have revealed in your word. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and he guides us into all the truth. He takes the things of Jesus and declares them to us. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to have an encounter with the light. And God's purpose is to set every person in this room completely free from every area of darkness that exists at this time. Now, I'm going to lead you through a time of preparation for that, which is why we're going to have plenty of time to do this morning. But how are we actually going to encounter the light? Well, there are different ways that is possible. But this morning, it's going to be through communion. Why did Jesus, before he returned to heaven, actually institute Holy Communion, begin Holy Communion? Why did he take a piece of bread and he said, this is my body? Take and eat it. Why should he take the cup and say, this is my blood? Drink it, all of you. The bread and the wine signify Jesus, the light. And every time you receive communion, it's like receiving from God another dose of light. This is why Paul, when he's writing to the Corinthians, says how important it is for people to prepare themselves to be in right state, attitude towards God before they receive communion. He's saying that because the early believers knew how powerful the receiving of Holy Communion was. Much more powerful than I think most Christians today believe it to be. It's a thing that Christians do either every day, every week, or every month. proclaiming the death of the Lord till he comes again, surely does that. But then, what is the death of the Lord? The death of the Lord is the light overcoming all darkness. And then rising from the darkness of the tomb in his resurrection body to demonstrate that the light has defeated the darkness. So whenever we receive communion, we can anticipate that we are receiving afresh the light of Jesus to overcome whatever darkness there is. So Jesus says that the blood is for the forgiveness of sins. And we've already seen sin is darkness. That blood signifies you are completely forgiven and free from every sin. A lot of people often wrongly associate sin and sickness. Obviously, there are some sins that can cause sickness. Sexual sins, for example, overeating, undereating, abuse of your body can cause infirmities of different kinds. That's clearly the case. But there are many sicknesses that are not the direct result, as far as we can perceive, of sin. And certainly when Jesus prayed for people to be healed, sometimes it was a question of confronting them with a sin and the need to be forgiven first, but other times he knew there was not the need to do that. So it's a question of really, as we come to the Lord, saying, well, Jesus, on that cross, you died for my forgiveness. On that cross, you died for my freedom. On that cross, you died to give me peace and joy. On that cross, you died to give me life. On that cross, you died to give me healing from all oppression, from all sickness. So I'm coming to you today to receive these gifts so that all the virtue of your body and all the virtue of your blood become mine afresh in a new way today. So we can be thankful even before we receive the gifts, if we're people of faith. We can come with expectation. Does this mean that every area of darkness is immediately going to be removed from our lives and every sickness healed? Not necessarily. That may well be the case in some this morning. I think it inevitably will be the case. But on other occasions, in other circumstances, sometimes we need to receive the light again and again and again. And as we do that repeatedly, what happens is whatever the area of darkness is overcome, is defeated in our lives. That's a process rather than just an event. And I've known what it is to be healed by the Lord immediately as an event. But I've also known what it is to be healed by the Lord of some serious things as a process. As you receive the light again and again and again. And when God takes you through a process, that's actually more faith building than the event. You don't need too much faith for an event because it's happened. But when you need to hold on to the truth and receive the light again and again, you have to walk in the victory of the cross that God has given you. So every time you come to the Lord in prayer, you expect more of the light. Every time you receive communion, you expect more of the light. And I don't want, when you receive communion, we're going to do it in a slightly different way from the way we normally do it. And I'll explain that to you later. But I don't want you to pray for one another. You know, it's good to pray for one another, but I don't believe when we receive communion, that is really the time to pray for one another. The reason being, our focus should be on receiving the light through the gifts that God is giving us. Our focus shouldn't be on what somebody else is praying for us. Are you there? Our focus, our intention, our faith is I'm going to have an encounter with Jesus. And yeah, it's nice that, you know, I've got people around that want to pray for me. Let them pray for me afterwards, but not while I'm receiving, while I'm having an encounter with the light. Because I want my focus to be on him. I want my focus to be on the light. I don't want my focus to be on what somebody else is praying for me and perhaps with the best intentions of the world trying to prophesy over me. Hello? That can be a distraction from the light. It can actually hinder what God can do through the receiving of the gifts. So, you know, I know we always mean well when we want to pray for one another and encourage one another and so on. But actually the power is not in your prayer. The power is in the gifts. So this morning we're going to keep the focus on the gifts and not be praying for one another. You can pray for one another at the end of the meeting if you like. But not at that time of encountering the light. Because the prayer of your brother or sister is not the light. Jesus is the light. And Jesus said, "This is my body, the body of light. This is my blood, the blood of light." So I don't think I need to say any more except to share just one thing with you. As you know, I've written this book about the Reformation that God wants, and that's all completed now. It's off to the publishers and will be printed, and we trust will be available around the end of this month. And I'll be talking about this more when, at the time when it's published. But basically in it there are a number of short chapters which talk about different aspects of the life of Jesus that he wants to see in his church and therefore in all the members of every church. And you may remember that God gave me that vision of the orchard, of the trees in the orchard, the trees symbolizing every branch, every church, every fellowship, actually in the whole world. This is an orchard that is very extensive. And that the branches in each of the trees therefore represented each individual believer. And if you were at the meeting where I shared that vision with you, you remember that I said that what God was aiming at through this process of reformation that is going to take place in the next few years, not just here, but all over the world, is that he wants the light of his glory to be shining out of those trees. And when the Lord gave me this vision, I didn't immediately think of that encounter that I had with him in the 1970s when I saw those trees. But as I was praying this morning, God reminded me of that. And that's why he said, share that vision, because this is what I want. I want the light of my glory to be shining out of all the trees in the orchard. I want the light of my glory to be shining out of every branch, because the light of my glory is going to produce the fruit that will give me glory. The fruit that will last, because it's glorious fruit. And my glory will last for all eternity. And so, in this book, there is this series of short chapters about the different aspects of the life of Jesus that he wants to see reflected in our lives as believers and in the life of the churches, and of this church as one of those churches. And in that I use the illustration of a diamond. Now, when a diamond is found, it doesn't look very glorious. It's just a bit of rock. But once it has been cut and shaped and polished, it becomes not only something that reflects the light, but is also very valuable. And you see, this is what God is doing in each one of our lives. He's shaping us like diamonds, cutting off all the rough edges, polishing us so that we reflect the light of his glory. And my wife's got a diamond in her engagement ring and flashes with all those different colors of the rainbow, doesn't it? When it reflects the light. So praise God. He's shaping you into what he wants you to be. And the more you allow him to do that, the more of the light you're not only going to receive, but that light is going to be reflected through your life and will actually impact the other people that you encounter who live in darkness. Isn't that good? All the diamond has to do is to reflect the light. Doesn't have to try to be anything. Doesn't have to try to be, you know, I'm a diamond. It just has to reflect Jesus, the light. Amen? So let's all stand. Now we're going to spend a few moments preparing our hearts to encounter the light, to receive the light. So just close your eyes and focus on Jesus. I don't want you to focus on yourself, but I want you to focus on Jesus, who is the light. And just begin to praise and thank him first, that he is the light of your life. And that he has made you a child of the light. Once you're a child of darkness, in the enemy's dominion, but he rescued you from the dominion of darkness and brought you into the kingdom of the Son he loves. He brought you into the light. So thank him for that, that you're a child of light. And Jesus said, while you have the light, walk in the light, that you might be the sons of light. So are you ready to say to the Lord this morning, I want to live and walk as a child of light? Now, if you say that to the Lord, your next step is to say, I want you to set me free from every area of darkness. In my life, the word says that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. And he wants that to be true of you, that you are a child of light and in you there is no darkness at all. So if there's darkness of sin, perhaps a secret sin, perhaps something that has been hidden from others, perhaps something that you've been fighting and not getting the victory over it, kind of thing that you've asked to be forgiven again and again and again. And every time you ask, God does forgive you. But this morning you're saying, Lord, I'm bringing this sin to the light because I want it to be obliterated once and for all. I no longer want this sin to be a part of my life. Usually those things that persist, you see, we have actually wanted in some way. So you may need to pray, Lord, I want the light of your truth to cleanse and purify my heart this morning so that I no longer desire what you consider to be darkness. Now you need to talk to the Lord and to be specific about what those things are. You can't bring vagueness into the light. It has to be very specific. I want you to deal, Lord, with this area of darkness. If you're aware that there are any areas of compromise as far as obedience to his word is concerned, that compromise is darkness. It's actually disobedience. You can call it compromise and sort of dress it up and make it sound a little bit better than disobedience, but actually it is disobedience. So are you prepared to pray this morning? Lord, I want the darkness of compromise, of disobedience, to go from my life. For your light to obliterate the darkness of compromise. And as I receive your gifts this morning, I am believing that your light will penetrate those areas of my life so that I will no longer live under compromise, but in the anointing of your light. Maybe you're conscious of areas of superficiality. You might think my prayer life is so superficial, or my love for others is so superficial, or my servanthood is so superficial. That won't be the case for everybody, but just if it applies to you, just bring those areas of superficiality to the Lord, because it's darkness, you see. It's not real light. Light is loving others as He has loved you. That's light. Not loving others because you've got some ulterior motive. So, Lord, Holy Spirit, show us any areas of compromise. Show us any areas of superficiality. Show us any of those areas that are hidden in the darkness that perhaps we're not even aware of, that we haven't realized a darkness. We've just got so used to living with them, we have believed that those things have become part of our identity, but we know they're not our real identity in Christ. So we want the light of your gospel, the light of your truth, the light of your word, the light of your spirit to rid us of the darkness of these things and to flood our lives with your light, with your truth, with your love, with your power. We may be like those multifaceted diamonds that reflect your light. If you believe that you've been under some kind of oppression, depression, maybe one or two, you believe that you've been the victim of some kind of curse that was put upon you or your family. Well, all those things are darkness, aren't they? But the light of Jesus breaks the power of every curse. The light of Jesus delivers you from all oppression, all depression. It's not a question of praying about depression, but Lord, I'm bringing this depression into the light this morning, and I'm receiving the light that will overcome that depression once and for all, and set me free. A mighty miracle of your love and power in my life. See, this is all we have to do. Bring the darkness to the light. That's why Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you peace." Why? Because if they come to Him with all the things that make them feel oppressed and heavy laden, they're coming to the light. Because relationship problems, bring them into the light. Bring them to the light of Jesus. And expect that you're going to see a breakthrough in those relationships. Perhaps marriages, perhaps other kind of relationships. Nothing is impossible for our God. When we bring what was darkness into the light. Those of you that have been battling with wrong heart attitudes, unforgiveness, taking offense, feeling offended, feeling wounded, I mean, that's darkness. It's deep, deep darkness, Jesus says. Judging others, that's real darkness. Makes you feel judged yourself. So bring all those negative, ungodly attitudes out of darkness into the light. Just talk to the Lord about them. Welcome His light this morning into your heart to free you from all those negative, ungodly, dark attitudes. And then the darkness of sickness, of pain, that's emotional pain, physical pain. Infirmity of any kind. Affirm to the Lord, Lord, I believe you do not want any sickness to persist in my life. And I bring this infirmity, this situation, this need into the light of your glory. And I want you to be glorified in the healing of these needs in my life. I don't believe, Lord, that you're glorified in the sickness. But you will be glorified in delivering me and healing me and setting me free. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I've covered a whole range of things, but let's just be still for a moment. If there's anything else, just be absolutely honest with the Lord. That's all you have to do, my friend. Just be honest. God's not judging you. He's not condemning you. He's not saying, you wicked child. He's not beating you about and messing you up. Totally the opposite. He's saying, just be honest. Just be open. Just come to me. I won't lecture you. I'll heal you. I'll forgive you. I'll free you. Because this is my will. It's not my will to punish you. I bore your punishment on the cross. My will is not to punish, but to set you free. So we're going to prepare to receive communion. Now, I want the servers to listen very carefully. What the servers are going to do is they're going to stand at various points, some in the front, some at the back where there's space. They're not going to pray for you. They're not going to say anything to you.
One will hold the bread and another will hold the cup. And I want you to go to one of those points and to take a piece of the bread. Can't spend a long time standing in the way of others, but just take the bread and then the cup. But what you believe as you do so is of great importance this morning. Believe that this is an encounter with the light of Jesus that will touch your life at the particular areas of darkness that you've just spoken to him about. It's a matter of expecting an encounter with the light. Now, don't look for an experience. This is a matter of faith. You're not going to see groups of trees burst into flower or anything like the fire or anything like that. This is where you believe the light of Jesus is coming into this area of darkness to set me free this morning. So then, when you've received, go back to your place and just thank and praise the Lord. Now, if the servers would just position themselves, but don't start to receive yet, because we're going to praise the Lord before we do, before anybody moves to receive. So, if those who are serving would just go and position themselves wherever there is space for people, some in the front, some at the back. The rest of us, come and let's just lift our voices now. Begin to thank the Lord, who is the light of the world. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We praise you. Have different people holding the cup and the bread. Somebody else holding the cup. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And just stand apart, can you? So that people can... That's right. Thank you, Lord. Praise your holy name. Come on, let's hear some noise now. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the light. Thank you that there is no darkness at all in you. Thank you that your light overcomes the darkness. Thank you that when you came into the world, you came as the light of life. And thank you that as we receive these gifts of light this morning, so your life is going to impact our lives. Thank you, Lord, that your life will impact all those areas of darkness. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, for liberating us from the things that have bound us. Thank you, Lord, for overcoming those things that have persisted for so long in our lives. Thank you that this is a morning of victory over those things. Thank you, Lord, for the healing that is going to come into our lives this morning. And we bless you. Come and lift your hands, lift your voices, really begin to praise the Lord so that you come with expectant faith. Hallelujah. Thank you that you're going to come with a spirit of thanksgiving, thanking the Lord. This is my moment, Lord. This is my encounter with you in the light. Oh, hallelujah. And you're going to impact my life with your light this morning as I receive these gifts. Thank you, Lord. This is your body. This is your blood. Hallelujah. And I'm going to be impacted with all the virtue of your body, with all the virtue and life and power of your blood. And I give you glory, I give you honor, and I give you praise. Bless your wonderful name. Purata paria leto bakala sitari santuma. O paparia leto bakala sitari santuma. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.